East Bay Meditation Center and Spirit Rock have been my spiritual home for many years. So, yeah, just really grateful to be in community and practice with you all this morning. Like I'm sharing in the chat, yeah, in honor of Filipino American History Month, just want to go ahead and bring in the voice of longtime grassroots organizer and artist, Kiwi. So, thanks for receiving. I'd like to go ahead and begin with a centering practice, actually using our voice to center ourselves this morning by chanting the refuges and also the homage to the Buddha. We're going to go ahead and this is going to be an experiment. I'm going to invite everybody to go ahead and come off mute and we're going to go ahead and see what happens and just receive the rhythms. And my only request is if you can go ahead and follow my pace so that we can attempt unison as we all unmute. And let's just have fun with it. Emeka is going to go ahead and share the words of the chant on the screen. And just in terms of a tech tip, if you want to go ahead and see more of the Sangha, there's a bar that you can actually slide to the right and to the left that will allow you to manage how much you want to see the screen of the words and then how much you want to see the rest of the Sangha. I'm going to go ahead and start off at the very top, which is a chant three times, and then each one will be three times. And it's okay for this to be very imperfect. Let's go ahead and take two full breaths before we begin, taking a deep breath in, exhaling fully, inhaling. And exhaling and coming off mute if you like. Namo tassa bhagavato
Namo Tassa
arahato
Bhagavato
sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato
Bhagavato
arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo
Bhagavato
tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saraṇam gacchami. Dhammam saraṇam gacchami. Sangham saraṇam
Sangam
gacchami.
Dutiyampi
Dhammam saraṇam gacchami. Satyampi dhammam saraṇam
gacchami.
And just going ahead and allowing ourselves to just notice the impact of those sounds and the chants on our body. Just noticing if you feel any sensations there. Noticing the effect on our breathing, on our heart. And then just going ahead and listening to the sound of the bell. listening to the sound of the bell to the very last trace of sound. Thank you, Sangha. That was the first time I chanted and invited everybody to come off on mute, and I loved it. Thank you. Yeah, so just wanted to go ahead and, you know, let you all know what's been on my heart as I arrive today to share with all of you. My Dharma talk will be focusing on how suffering deepens practice and cultivating equanimity during loss and grief. Yeah, and just think about, you know, to yourself, just a question, you know, have you all, who has experienced loss and grief during this year and during the pandemic? And then also keeping in mind who has experienced loss and grief. If you think about the people in your lives, in your circles, you know, whenever I share, one of the first things that comes to mind is one of my teachers, Conda Mason, shares with me that the ancestors are wanting us not to hold back and just wanting to go ahead and just really share how it's really been for me this past year. You know, I have the, you know, the experience and to be of witness to a lot of loss and grief, not only in my personal circles in terms of marriages breaking up, friendships breaking up during this year and during the pandemic, and then also because of my location, vocationally and professionally, also noticing the breakups that are happening in organizations, in social justice organizations, in the field, the mental health crisis that's happening across the country in social justice movements. So just present to that. And in addition, you know, this year, experiencing, you know, just letting folks know my mother is my greatest love. And, you know, the passing away of my mother has also been the greatest loss for me this year. And as I'm saying that, I'm recognizing in my own body and heart that, you know, the intensity of my grief is the form love really takes on when someone we dearly love transitions to the ancestral realm. You know, and so although, you know, the deep affection lives on, you know, that love turns into deep yearning and deep sorrow. So I'm so grateful for the refuges that we chanted. You know, what a blessing. Take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. What a blessing. Because I get to go ahead and learn to live with the grief of losing my mother. You know, and it's beautiful that Spring Washing is going to be leading a day-long, you know, retreat on impermanence, you know. So it's like, oh, how can I be with this? You know, so to live with grieving this past year, I've really had to experiment with my practice. I've had to experiment with my practice and needed to change and explore and experiment in a way that I can cultivate equanimity as I am grieving, you know, because, you know, our world continues to move on, and How can I hold equanimity as I'm in relationship with folks in my personal life at home, and then also as I'm supporting others in the community? So I just want to go ahead and share that these are the practices that have been essential for me during this particular season of grief and loss. And as I share, I want to invite all of you to explore what resonates and what doesn't resonate. You know, I love that. I have 18 years, you know, spirit willing, I'll have 18 years of recovery next month from alcohol and drug addiction. And I love that about recovery spaces. You know, it's like when somebody shares, we just get to go ahead and take on what resonates and what's valuable for us in the moment. And it's okay to go ahead and leave the rest. And I just invite that too, you know, in this space. I just want to bring in Shahara Godfrey, who really was one of my teachers. That was like, you know what? We can bring all of ourselves to the Dharma space. You know, we don't have to leave our recovery lives outside the Dharma. It's like together, you know. So please consider what's valuable to you and what's not. And I wholeheartedly honor the wisdom and practices that you already have, you know, to deal with and navigate the loss and grief in your life. Like, really want to lift that up and center that. So the first thing I want to go ahead and share is just the, you know, it's to begin with the refuge of Sangha has been essential for me. And I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, grief needs to be witnessed and we need support and we can't do this alone. You know, the day after my mom passed, my Dharma siblings and one of my dear Dharma teachers, you know, Margarita Loynes, they held space for me as I cried and released waves and waves and waves of tears, you know. So, you know, to be seen, to be heard, and to be loved in Sangha was for me to like be buoyed up right in the midst of that storm for me. Thich Nhat Hanh says, Sangha is the carrier of the Dharma. The Sangha applies the Dharma. He goes on to say, when you allow yourself to be in a Sangha, the way a drop of water allows itself to be in a river, the energy of the Sangha can penetrate into you. And transformation and healing will become possible. So for me, Sangha was applying the balm of compassion on my broken heart. It has been that way consistently. The second thing I want to go ahead and share that's been essential for me is movement, mindful movement. You know, the intensity of my grief is directly proportional to how much love I have for my mom. And I experienced all the different storms and all the different faces of grief. You know, the giant waves of pain and sorrow and guilt, anger towards myself, you know, the depression, the anxiety. All those ways were honestly too intense for me to practice any kind of stillness meditation. So for me, you know, at least for the 6 months after my mom's funeral, I needed and relied heavily on movement to metabolize all these intense emotions. You know, and I folded mindfulness and awareness into my yoga practice, into my martial arts practice, into running, into biking, into weightlifting, hiking, swimming, boogie boarding. I needed to move a lot. And there was no distinction really from the way I practice my mindfulness and awareness practice when I'm being still, you know, when I'm sitting, standing, or laying down, and when I'm moving. And that was really an important way for me to resource myself, to metabolize and release all those very, very strong emotions. And the third thing I really relied on was this meditation that I learned from Thich Nhat Hanh. I really leaned on the Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings during this past year. And, you know, this reality of no birth and no death. And there's this one particular meditation that I really love. It's a meditation that he calls seeing your loved one within you. And actually, I learned it from, go ahead, it's actually books right here. I learned it, it's from this, from his teachings in this book. I'll put it in the chat. It's How to Live When a Loved One Dies. And that meditation is in that book. So, you know, I recorded myself saying these words and led myself through a guided meditation. A meditation that I'll actually invite us to practice later on together. And through this meditation, I realized in a somatic, embodied way that my mom continues to live in every cell of my body. That I got to actually feel and experience that, you know. And so sharing care for my mother, who lives in my body, who lives in my heart, you know, I did a lot of, you know, part of the process for me was just like really trying to not let myself off the hook and not beat myself up so much, right? So, you know, it was a, you know, recognizing that my mom was in my body and in my heart and in every cell was a pathway to show care and compassion for myself, you know. But I needed to do that first by recognizing my mom is in me. And that by treating my mom with love and compassion, that I get to go ahead and treat myself with that same love and compassion because we're sharing the same body. Which was able to, for me to cultivate a more, you know, explicit self-compassion practice for myself. And I love these words. This is one thing that has been really also central for me this year, these words of the Buddha about compassion. He says, they say, you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself. And that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserves your love and affection. I needed to hear that and read that and hear that and read that for myself. And I'll go ahead and invite us into self-compassion practice later on with some of the phrases that, you know, sometimes it starts in my head and then eventually it's like, oh, I say them enough. And then it's like, oh yeah, I'm feeling it here. You know, it's that it slowly travels down, down, down eventually for me. And this fifth essential practice for me has been chanting, like we did at the very beginning. You know, within Buddhist spaces, I first learned chanting from being on retreat with Tanisara and Kittasara. And, you know, honestly, my chanting practice has been inconsistent, and I returned to my chanting practice when my mom passed. For me, what's in my regular practice is three chants. It's the one that we did at the very beginning, just really grounding that I'm being held by the refuges. It's the great compassion mantra. It's a little bit lengthy, so it's not one that I'll be leading later on today, but I just want to go ahead and express that and share that. And then the chant Om Mani Padme Om, which is the heart mantra of Kuan Yin, which invokes the embodiment of compassion. I love what Tanisara says. I was able to go ahead. I have the the blessing and privilege to be in that cohort that Emiko mentioned that I was a part of at EBMC. And, you know, this one thing that she said really jumped out at me. She said, devotion practices like mantras and chanting are the deeper part of the practice. It's where the river of the Dharma is. And I'm just really exploring that right now, you know, exploring how chanting is impacting my body, mind, heart. You know, because in my experience, when I chant, I feel the words, the rhythm, and the tones, like as vibrations, you know, just surrounding and entering my heart. It's like a sonic massage. And it really, they really help me to feel the compassion that's already there. Because sometimes there's many times when I can't feel that. And the chanting, that vibration that I feel when I'm chanting, when I'm in the space of other people chanting, I get to feel that more. My sixth practice is like, just, you know, I've been dancing as if my life depends on it. You know, Howard Thurman, the Black theologian and mystic who had a profound influence on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is one of my favorite quotes from him. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. You know, I first heard this quote years ago, and Kyra Julingo referred to it in a recent talk I heard, and it's just, oh, I just needed to hear that again. You know, for me, when I think about grief, it's important to be intentional about titrating when we grieve. You know, we grieve and then we need to take a break. You know, we grieve and then we need to take a break. We grieve and we need to take a break. Because it can be too much. And dancing is my favorite way to take a break from grief. You know, dancing was my first practice in medicine that I learned as a child. And dancing is what makes me come alive. You know, we always have this one moment in BIPOC Spirit Rock retreats where at the very end of the retreat, the teacher will go ahead and play the track, and then we're going ahead and dancing in the middle of the hall. And it's like one of my favorite things to look forward to sometimes at the very end of the BIPOC retreat. And sometimes I'm wondering, why aren't we doing this every day? Why do we have to wait to the very, very end of the BIPOC retreat for that 5 minutes? So just a little preview, if I ever get a chance to be a lead teacher of a BIPOC week-long retreat, I'm going to try to go ahead and get us moving and dancing throughout. We don't have to wait to the very last day. That wasn't in my notes that I was going to share, but it just came out. And then there's this, another thing that's been really essential for me is nature and the elements. You know, when I think about just like my mother is in me, my mother is also in nature all around me. I was given the gift for a couple weeks shortly after my mom passed to go ahead and go to my best homegirl's auntie's place over on the Big Island in Hawaii. And, you know, I felt my mom's presence in the ocean, in the rainforest, in the wild purple orchids. My mom's favorite color is purple. And then I felt her presence in the flowing volcano lava during a clear moonlit midnight. You know, so my yearning for my mom is my yearning to love her and to be loved by her. And it's so painful when my love doesn't have a place to go, or if I'm not feeling her love and I can't receive it. And I can experience this in a real way, this experience of giving and receiving of love with her, of love with my mom, when I am in nature and when I am experiencing her as the ocean, as the rainforest, as the orchids. So yeah, my running involves being with the trees a lot and running by the water because that's where I can actually feel her the most. And then there's this last practice, and there's many more, but I just wanted to go ahead and center these eight. Resting in the knower and awareness itself. My teacher, Margarita Loynes, teaches me that there is a distinction between the awareness of our experience, the content of our experience. You know, when I talk about the content of our experience, we have this practice of noticing the breath, noticing sensations, noticing the emotions that are arising from our heart, noticing the thoughts and the stories and the narratives in our mind. And then there's the awareness of the knower who is observing the experience and the content. So there's the actual experience, the content itself, and then who we are as the knower of that content. And the practice of connecting and resting in that part of me that's the knower has created spaciousness and freedom for me in the way I'm relating to the strong emotions and the grief. And, you know, sometimes I just get moments and I love the relief and the freedom and the ease when I experience those moments. Yeah. So yeah, when I relax back into the awareness of awareness, I experience those moments of freedom and ease. So I shared a lot, and now I want to go ahead and invite us into this practice. Just checking my time right now and wanting to go ahead and invite us into a practice that includes, and I just want to go ahead and just give the arc of it. And so the invitation is to participate in as much of it as you like. And then also you can go ahead and jump on and off the tour whenever you feel like it. So I'm going to go ahead and begin with just a little bit of guided movement. And then I'll invite us to some freestyle movement while Emeko plays this track. It's a Kulintang hip-hop track. And again, in honor of Filipino-American History Month, I wanted to go ahead and bring in a track that that brings in the instruments of that's indigenous to the Philippines called the Kulintang. And then invite us into some stillness meditation. And then invite us into that practice I shared about Thich Nhat Hanh, seeing your loved one within you. It leads into a self-compassion practice, some chanting, Om Mani Padme Om, and then we'll go ahead and close there. Again, you know, I honor all the ways in which you want to go ahead and spend this time practicing together. And choose, make choices that make your practice feel good. I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of a switch because since I'm leading movement, I also have to make an adjustment to my space. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn off my video momentarily, and then I'll turn it back on.
Emiko, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. I'm going, just adjusting my screen. Emiko, can you still hear me? Oh, sweet. All right. So for guided movement, I'm just going to invite us to go ahead and you can do this seated or standing. If you're seated, I'm going to go ahead and practice seated for right now, and then you can also practice standing. But I'm just going to invite us to go ahead and take our arms so that they're about shoulder height, breathing in. And then when we exhale, we're just going to go ahead and let our arms flop towards the floor. So just using the exhalation to release anything that you don't need. Inhaling as it comes up and then exhaling as it comes down. And if you're standing, another option, if you're standing, you can also bend at the knees, option two. You can make your exhalation audible. And then if you're standing, you can also fold at the hips. Imagine you're sweeping away anything you don't need. Then do three more. And then after the third one, just going ahead and release. And then just taking a moment to notice the sensations in your arms and your hands and in your fingertips from doing those movements. Cool. And I'm going to invite us to go ahead and do some trunk twists. You're just going to go ahead and twist from left to right, right to left. And if you're seated, you can go ahead and just twist slowly, you know, just twisting slowly. If you're standing, you can let the arms by your side. And then we're just going to add some breath, letting out a puff of air every time you twist and then inhaling in the center. And then as you're twisting, just going ahead and feeling your feet on the floor and also feeling the air against your skin. And then letting the twists get slower and slower. I'm just taking a moment to pause and feel here. I'm just noticing if there's any sensations you feel in the body now from doing those movements. Cool. I'm going to invite Emiko to go ahead and play some music. It's going to be playing for about 3 minutes. The invitation here, you can have your video on or off. The invitation here is just to move in a way that the body wants to move as you're hearing the music. So going ahead and letting go of the movement to receive stillness. And just noticing and welcoming anything that's arising right now. In your awareness. And just a gentle invitation to welcome what's arising. It might be the breath, sensations, feelings, thoughts, sounds, without necessarily having to choose or push anything away, just allowing things to arise as they are. I'm just going ahead and finding a meditation posture, either sitting, standing, lying down. If you want to go ahead and walk while I'm offering some words and guidance, just choosing what feels nurturing for your practice in this moment. And invite us into noticing the weight of the body. The solidity of the body. The density of the body. This density and solidity is the earth element in our body that we can experience as our flesh, as our bones. All that's solid. And recognizing that this earth element within us is also in connection, relationship, and in balance with the earth element outside of us. The earth element in the form of the land and the trees, the mountains. Connecting with the earth element within. Expanding our awareness to include the qualities of the fluid flowing nature of the body. You can connect with this water element of the body as expressed in the moisture in our eyes, our saliva, the sweat on our skin, the blood and fluids running through our body. And this water element within us is connected in relationship and in balance with the water element outside of us. And all the different articulations of water, the river, the streams, the lakes, the ponds, the fog, the morning dew. Acknowledging and connecting with the water element within. Expanding our awareness to include heat. Changes in temperature, warmth in the body. You can experience the fire element as warmth in the chest or the belly, the palms, warmth in the armpits, warmth after moving and dancing. Any changes in temperature, heat, sensation of warmth is the expression of the fire element within. And that fire element within is in connection and relationship to the fire element outside of us. The warmth of the sun and the warmth in our relationships and sangha and power and energy of our movements. Expanding our awareness to include the element of air, which can be most expressed within us through our breath. Just noticing how the breath sustains our life. And that the same breath within allows us to connect with all beings that envelop this planet through the element of air. Acknowledging and connecting with the air element within. Acknowledging and connecting with nature as us, and we as nature. I want to invite us to bring to mind a loved one who has moved on to the ancestral realm. And this loved one can be someone who is part of your blood family, your spirit family. Be a friend, a mentor, teacher. A furry companion. Any loved one you want to invite to this moment to be with you. On the next breath in, breathing in, your loved one is in every cell of your body. And breathing out, smiling at your loved one in every cell of your body. Breathing in, loved one in every cell, and breathing out, smiling at your loved one. On the next breath in, breathing in, you and your loved one are breathing in together. And breathing out, you and your loved one are breathing out together. Breathing in, we're breathing in together. And breathing out, we're breathing out together. Breathing in, we are breathing in with our loved one's lungs. And breathing out, our bodies are relaxing. Breathing in with our loved one's lungs. And breathing out, our bodies relaxing. And breathing in, we're seeing with our loved one's eyes, and you can have them halfway open or open if you like as we breathe in. And breathing out, we're listening and hearing with our loved one's ears. Breathing in, seeing with their eyes. And breathing out, listening with their ears. On the next breath in, breathing in, you and your loved one, we are part of this river of life flowing for thousands of years. And breathing out, we are entrusting ourselves to this river of life. Breathing in, river of life. And breathing out, entrusting ourselves to this river. And for this next part of our practice, the self-compassion practice, just a gentle invitation. You can continue where you're at if you want to go ahead and lie down and feel the support of the floor and the earth. It's choosing what feels good for you. And then I'll be sharing some phrases and just an invitation to go ahead and recreate them in a way that feels nourishing for you. An invitation to say them silently to yourself or out loud, recreating them in a way that supports your practice. If you like, you can place your hands on your heart, if that feels good, or maybe one hand on the heart and one hand on the belly. May I be kind and gentle with myself. I care about my pain, my grief, and suffering. May I find peace and healing. May I accept myself just as I am. May I love myself just as I am. May I forgive myself. And if I can't forgive myself now, may I forgive myself in the future. I am enough. Just for the next couple of minutes, just going ahead and a couple options here. You can rest your attention on your breath, where your body's making contact with the floor. Perhaps resting your attention on the sounds in the room. Or if you want, you can explore resting your attention in that part of yourself that is the knower of your experience. This part of us that's spacious and boundless. Resting and aware of awareness itself. It's relaxing back. I'd like to go ahead and seal our practice with some chanting. Just going to go ahead and chant Om Mani Padme Om 3 times. Feel free to listen, hum along, chant along. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Invitation to chant 3 ohms, 3 times before those 3 ohms, taking 2 full breaths, letting the exhalation be a sigh out if that feels good for you. Taking a deep breath in, exhaling fully. Inhaling deeply. Exhaling fully. 3 ohms. Inhaling. Batala salamat po. Batala salamat po. Batala salamat po. In Tagalog, just giving thanks to Spirit, the mother of all mothers. Bahalana, bahalana, bahalana. And just surrendering and letting go to this river of life. Just going ahead and listening to the sound of the bell to the very last trace of sound. And then if your eyes are closed or halfway closed, just going ahead and taking your sweet time, maybe wiggling your toes and your fingers, shrugging your shoulders. Taking your sweet time coming back to each other.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.